So when you look into the face of someone with an opposing worldview as you, what do you see? You know, or someone who has, you know, so different than you, maybe you just feel like you can't relate to them, or maybe even they kind of scare you. When you look at that person, what do you see or what do you think? Or how about the person in this room, or maybe 1,000 miles from here that you have some unresolved conflict with? When you look at their face, what do you see? What do you feel? What do you think? I just thought, with all the conflict going on in our country these days, I thought it would be good to remind us that if we just looked a little closer, we'd realize that we're really not that different. We might even realize that those who maybe oppose our point of view or think very differently than us are actually our brothers and sisters, spiritually. And if they're not, and you go, no, I know those people are so far from God. If they're not, those are the same people that Jesus died for so that they might become our brothers and sisters, right? They're the ones we're called to reach, and we're the hands and feet of Jesus. See a lot of postings this week about, you know, God is still on the throne and all that's true. The reality is he's left all of us here to represent him. So the question is, are we representing him well? Are we loving people like Jesus loved us? You know, people think that, you know, what I do to come and to pastor a church and come and teach, you know, like that's a high calling. And it is, but I don't know that it's any more of a high calling than you have. Than I have is just being a part of the body of Christ, the church, representatives, ambassadors of Jesus on the earth. People think, you know, Vic, you know, as teachers, scripture says you're going to be held more accountable. And I will be held accountable for what I teach, but I think we're all going to be held accountable for what we teach people about Jesus. Because the way we live and the way we respond to people, it speaks to people about Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. How have you done with that this week? I think it's an honest question we need to ask ourselves. The election has stirred up a lot of emotions with people. There's no question about that. There have been a lot of assumptions and stereotyping on both sides of the fence. And my word to everyone in this room is, show love and compassion to everyone you come in contact with. But what if they're wrong? What if they're just unreasonable? They're making these crazy statements. Listen, I read my Bible pretty often, and I just don't remember there being an asterisk on love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's not a little footnote there that goes, you know, if they agree with you. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, or if they're being reasonable. I mean, it even goes as far later to go, love your enemy, right? Love your enemy the way that God loved you when you were his enemy, because we all were at some point, right? And so it's just a reminder for us, love our neighbor as ourselves. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. These things should mark the lives of those of us who claim to follow Jesus. So we've been going through a study in the book of 1 Corinthians. It's called We Are the Church. Paul is writing to the church that's struggling in some of these areas. There's division in the church. We've talked about that. There's a lot of immaturity. There's jealousy. There's all these things going on. And basically, they're allowing the sinful nature to come in. They're not surrendering to the Spirit. And so Paul is addressing that issue. I think it's very pertinent to us today. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to start off by reading verses 1 to 9. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to the world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you're still controlled by your sinful nature. You're jealous of one another. You quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you're controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? When one of you says, I'm a follower of Paul, and another says, I'm a follower of Apollos, aren't you acting like people of the world? After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We're only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts. Apollos watered it. But it's God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is God, that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we read your word, you give us insight into it. Lord, that we would see our own immaturity at times, that our own need for growth. We'd be honest about it. God, we'd invite your spirit to work in our hearts and change us. God, help us to understand it's not about people, it's not about churches, it's not about ministries. It's about you and your love for mankind and your love for us. God, give us a deeper understanding of that this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what's interesting about this passage is if you were here last week in chapter 2, Paul is talking about those who are following Jesus, who are his brothers and sisters, God's children. He says, God gives us his spirit, and the spirit of God helps us to discern the things of God. He says, he goes as far as to say, we have the mind of Christ. Okay, and he goes, these spiritual things, they can't be discerned by those who aren't believers. They don't have the spirit, but he goes, you have the spirit. All right, so you have this discernment. And then right on the heels of that, he turns around and goes, but listen, let me tell you, you guys are still acting like babes. You're still immature. And he says, you know, I wish I could speak to you like spiritual people, but I can't. I need to talk to you like you belong to the world because you're so immature. Look at verse 2. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready. It's as if Paul's saying, you know, I wish you were a little more mature, but you're not. So let me break it down once again. Let's get back to the basics. And I think that's a message we all need to hear. You know, if nothing else, let's get back to the basics. When we're out here and living in the flesh and acting like the world and fighting and quarreling, he goes, no, let's get back to what, a little bit of milk. It's real simple. God loves you. He sent Jesus to die for you. He loves the world. He sent Jesus to die for the world. Now receive that love and then go about loving people. Okay? And Paul goes, I got to start there because that's where you're at. You know, many of us have children or have had younger siblings that we kind of grew up with, right? And babies are so cute when they're yours. They're so cute. There is such thing as an ugly baby. I won't go there, but you've never seen one. But anyhow, moving right along. But, you know, they're real cute, and especially when they can't do anything but just sit there and drink, and man, at that, their poop doesn't even bother you that much at that age, right? But like 0 to 4, 6 months, they're just on milk. And then they get to about 6 months, they start holding their head up, they can sit in a chair, and you start feeding them baby food, and then like 10 months, something solid. Now, what about the dad who has a little baby, proud baby boy, and, you know, he's about 3, 4 months old, and he's like, all right, son, I'm going to make you a man. Go out, grill a steak, cut it up, you know, and try to feed it to him. All right, if you saw that happening, what would you do? Yeah, you might call authorities, right? Like, this might kill the kid. And Paul's going, listen, I'd like to give you some meat, but right now you need a little bit of milk. Because you're just not there yet. And I don't know if there's anything worse than Christians who have all this head knowledge. All this head knowledge, but it hasn't penetrated their heart. And so they've gone on to all these other things, but they haven't even got the basics down where they're really loving God and allowing God to change their heart and then loving the people around them. So that's what Paul's kind of observing here. He's like, man, you guys might think you're somewhere. Let me help you out. Let's dial it back a little bit. You're still in the infancy stage. Look at verses 2 to 4. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready. For you're still controlled by your sinful nature. You're jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove that you're controlled by your sinful nature? aren't you like people of the world? When one of you says, I'm a follower of Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, aren't you acting just like the people of the world? See, they were still controlled by their sinful nature rather than by the Spirit. Now, why does Paul say this? Well, because they're jealous of one another. Man, that person's getting noticed, that there's jealousy. This is within the church, right? They're quarreling with one another. And he goes, man, you're still controlled by your sinful nature. You need to surrender to the Spirit and see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Is there anyone who should be able to love and extend the love of God to people more than us, the church? And unfortunately, that's not been what our reputation holds to the world, right? So how about us in this room? Are we ready for more than milk? Are we controlled by our sinful nature or by the Spirit? Let me give us a reminder of what that looks like. We've read this a few times here in the last month or so. Galatians 5, 19 to 23. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery. You're like, okay, we're doing pretty good on those, right? Some of us. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. See, we need to make a sober assessment of where we're at in our walk with God. You know, are we being controlled by the sinful nature? If you look at our lives, does it look more like the life controlled by the sinful nature or the life that is an example of the fruit of the Spirit? None of us are going to be perfect. We're all in process, right? God's working in all of us. We're all messed up, broken people. We all should at least acknowledge that. But when we look at that, the sinful nature and the fruit of the Spirit, what are we closer to? Now, as His children, we should be growing, and the fruit of the Spirit should be more and more evident in our lives. Now, if we look at our lives and go, yeah, man, but I'm still stuck with a lot of the stuff of the sinful nature, jealousy, envy. There's times where I have these outbursts of, you know, okay, I'm not going to say, okay, you're not a believer. I'm just saying, let's acknowledge where we're at. That's what Paul's saying. He's going, listen, I had to give you milk because that's what you needed because you were still controlled by the sinful nature. So let's go back to the basics. Maybe we need a little bit more milk. Is there anything wrong with a baby at 4 months old that needs milk? I mean, it needs milk, right? So you give it milk. Is the problem with the baby or the dad who wants to feed it the steak? The problem is with the dad. The baby needs the milk, right? And that's okay. Just make an honest assessment of where we're at. And if I need to understand the basics more, then forget about, you know, studying about when Jesus is going to return or the sovereignty of God or all these, you know, high and lofty theological debates and arguments, or systematic theology. Let's learn to love, or let's learn to, first of all, accept and receive the love of God, because that's what it really boils down to. When my heart's all messed up, and I'm finding myself jealous of someone, I'm finding myself angry at another person, I'm finding myself lashing out, it's not because I haven't learned some deep secret in the Scripture of, you know, how to stop that. It's really because the love of God hasn't penetrated my heart to the point where I'm comfortable and confident in who He has called me to be in Him. I'm a child of God. Yeah, that person's getting more recognized than me. I'm a child of God. The King of the universe, one who created all things, loves me just as I am, not only when I get better. He loves me just as I am. Jesus died for me with all my mess. He loves me. I'm His child. He's my Father. Maybe we need to just take some more time and just Lord, help me to understand that. Let that love penetrate my heart so that nothing that you would say, nothing that you would do would ultimately shake me. Now, am I gonna have my moments? Sure. I may have times where the sinful nature wins? Sure. But more often than not, when I fully understand who I am and I'm grounded in that, man, you can say anything you want about me. You can categorize me, stereotype me. I know who I am in Jesus. And it's not going to be shaken. So instead of running on like we got to learn all these things, if our life doesn't look like a life that's marked by the fruit of the Spirit, let's get back to the basics. Just drink a little more milk. It's okay. It's a good thing. I mean, the gospel might be very simple. Jesus died for the sins of the world so that we might have life, not just eternal life when you die, have life now. You should be full of life, full of joy, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. We should be the most loving, most joyful, most peaceful, the kindest people on planet Earth. Okay? So if I'm looking at my life and going, I know we all fall short in that, right? But if I'm going, man, I don't look anything like that. Let's get to a better understanding of God's love, his love for the world, his love for the people who are different than you, but really his love for you, his love for me. It's good news. I mean, just think about the good news that God loves me. John goes on to say, he goes, listen, you can't love God and still hate your brother or sister, right? Because you can't do it. You can't love God who you can't see and then hate the person who's right in front of you. It doesn't work. You know, if you're saying you love God, but you still have hate in your heart, he goes, you know what? You're lying to yourself. Let's not be people who lie to ourselves. You know why God tells you to love your neighbor? Or why I think God tells you to love your neighbor? Because he loves your neighbor. I mean, think about that. You know, like it's like, oh, it's sometimes it's hard for us, but that person who is hard for you to love, just remember, God loves that person. Jesus died for that person. His blood was shed for that person. His heart goes out to that person. And like, God, work on my heart so it lines up with your heart. Because sometimes my heart's way out of line, if we're honest. When we begin to understand his love for us, and experience that, then there's security in that. There's that peace that surpasses all understanding. The world could be going to hell in a handbasket, and you go, I'm good, because I know who I am, and I know who's in control. I'm good, and it's gonna be good. I know how the story ends, right? See, the Corinthians, they didn't understand this. They're jealous of one another. They're arguing with one another. One of the issues that they're divided over is who they're following. They're following these different teachers, you know. One says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. And Paul's like, you're acting like people of the world. Well, thank God that doesn't happen today, right? You know, nothing like that happens today. I go to Celebration Church. They have the best worship in the city. We're at 1122, man. Joby, he's just the best teacher. I go to Emmaus. You know, Vic's not a great teacher, but they give a lot of money to the poor, right? Whatever it might be, but you see, we start aligning ourselves with, whether it's men, ministries, these things we call churches, and there's this subtle division that's there. We wouldn't admit it, but there's a subtle division that's there. Instead of just love and blessing, we're brothers and sisters, all a part of a body that God's called to make a difference in the city and in this world. And we have to start seeing things differently, because he goes, when you're doing this, aren't you acting like the world? We should identify more with Christ than any teacher, church, or ministry. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, 5-9. After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We're only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work that the Lord gave us. I planted a seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are God's workers, and you are God's field, you're God's building. See, when you read that, you think how ridiculous it is for people to be committed to a man or a ministry more than they are to God, more than they are to unity among the body. And listen, I'll tell you, I've seen enough people come and go over the years here at Journey and Emmaus, you know, to the point where someone will call, man, I love this church. Man, I love your teaching. And 6 months later, they're going, I really feel like the Lord's leading me to go somewhere else. Or even at the point like, you know, we're just not really being fed, you know. And I just got to the point where I've come to the point where, you know what, that's okay. But my life is not going to be peaks and valleys based on what people say about me or this ministry or how people respond. See, you go back to that whole milk thing. Like, if we just got the basics, like, it's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about the gospel. It's about his kingdom. It's not about Emmaus Church. It's not about Vic Kucha. It's about Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And when I start to see it that way, then it's like, man, I try not to get too excited when someone goes, man, this, I love this church, and I'm glad people are here, I'm glad you're here for a reason, but I also know, you know, that maybe in a year, you might love another church, or the people who love Celebration Church, in a year might be here, and if we see it as one body made of many parts, that's okay, right? We love and bless one another, and unfortunately, that's not the way that we all see it. And that's what was going on here. Like, Paul's like, who is Paul? Who is Apollos, you know? Who am I? Who are you? We're just God's servants. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 3:7. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes it grow. Wow, I mean, he's speaking to the Corinthians about a real issue in their congregation. Okay, there's those claiming to follow Paul and his teaching. Some claiming to follow Apollos and his teaching. But his point is, they're just servants of God. And you know what? This is Paul going, we're not really that important. We plant seeds, we water seeds. But you know what's really important? It's God who's making it all grow. It's God who's working behind the scenes. It's God, it's his kingdom that we're all a part of. And this doesn't just apply to apostles and teachers or pastors, okay? It applies to all of us. We each have a part to play in God's kingdom. Every day you have the opportunity to plant seeds, to water seeds. And every once in a while we have the opportunity to see a harvest, right? But what's not important is who's planting or who's watering. What's really important is who's making it grow. And if we see a harvest, who should be the one that gets all the glory for that? God, right? It shouldn't be us. And so what he's saying is, like, you guys are still looking at it from a worldly perspective. You guys don't understand. You don't, you know, and often we do the same things. So one of the problems is we judge things by results, right? Our whole lives are really performance-driven in every area of it. But let me just say this, that doesn't work in your spiritual life. It's not the way that God functions or operates. But unfortunately, all of that spills over often into our spiritual lives. Like, how do you determine if you're doing well spiritually? It's like, man, did you have a chance to share the gospel with anyone this week? I mean, that's a good thing if you did, but you think about that. Or depending on what church, quote unquote, you go to, you know, did you pray the prayer with anybody this week? Did anybody come to Jesus through your ministry this week? You hear those, your, it starts to be about us, right? How do we discern whether or not a church is effective and doing well? How many people do you have on Sunday mornings? Gosh, I can't tell you how many times I get that question, how sick it makes me. So how many people, how are you guys doing there? I've become a little bit of a smart aleck. Some people go, Like, how's the church doing? I'm like, well, last I checked, Jesus died, he resurrected, he ascended to heaven. His church is doing great. It's prevailing. I mean, you can't stop it. It's an unstoppable force. Well, no, I was talking about Emmaus. Oh, okay. Well, that group of people are doing pretty good. That, you know. But his church, it's perspective. How big's your building? How many people have you baptized? Listen, some plant, some water, some harvest. It's not important who does the planting, who does the watering, who does the harvesting. What's important is God who's making it grow. Can you imagine what it would be like if we just understood that? See, God doesn't love you because you performed well for him today. He doesn't not love you because you messed up yesterday. God loves you. John tells us that God is love. It is his character. It's the definition of love. He loves you as his child. Does he want you to grow? Yes. Does he want you to share the love of God with people? Yes. Share his word with people? Yes. But as soon as your focus is on the harvest, like results, a couple things happen real easily. It's real easy then, man. I see God do something. Maybe it's a miracle. Maybe I pray with someone, a miracle happens in their heart and their life has changed. And I'm like, man, that was awesome. I had a great day. Look at what God did through me. I mean, as long as you're acknowledging it's him through you, but what we do is like, how many people did you guys baptize this year? You know, and it becomes about us rather than about God. And if it's just about the result, please get this. This is a huge problem and issue. If our focus is on the result, someone comes to Christ, surrenders their life to Christ, and what we did, someone gets baptized. Look at how many people got baptized. Look at what we did. Here's what happens in that moment. In that moment, we're tempted to take credit for it. In that moment, our focus is on the harvest. When Paul just said it doesn't matter who plants, who waters, who harvests, it's God who makes it grow. This is the important moment. Well, what about the countless people, hundreds, maybe thousands of people who planted seeds in that person's life over the years, who watered seeds in that person's life over the years? The 80-year-old grandmother that's been praying for that person for years, and you're going, man, just because God allowed you to close the deal, so to speak, like, you know, look at this. Look at what God did. Listen, God's been doing for years. And when our focus is on these results, we forget that. We minimize all that. So it minimizes all that God's done through those people. Here's the other thing it does. It causes us to minimize those moments in life when you don't have those exciting things happen. You know, when you don't see someone give their life to Jesus. You're not a part of someone coming to the point of baptism. So you minimize the opportunities you have to just show kindness and love to someone. To realize that when you love someone in the midst of a difficult time, there's a seed that's planted. When you pray for somebody who, they might not even know you prayed, but you know what's going on in their life, you pray for them, there's water put on that seed. Listen, if you have kids, when you hold that child on your lap or in your arms, and you pray, or you tell them, I just want you to know, I love you and God loves you. God created you. God loves you. That moment is just as important in the kingdom of God as you getting up here in front of a congregation and sharing your testimony. That seed that's planted. You see what I'm saying? So we minimize these things and we isolate God and what he's doing to these spaces that we think are sacred spaces, Sunday morning, our Wednesday small group, or whatever. And God wants to just blow that apart and go, no, don't forget. In him we live and move and have our being. And every day you can plant seed. Every day you can water seed. Every day God's at work. And it really doesn't matter who does the planting or who does the watering or who sees the harvest. It's about God who's making it grow. Can you imagine if we lived like that, if we understood that? We'd be a selfless people. It wouldn't be about us. It wouldn't be about our ministry. It'd be about Christ and his kingdom. And we just walk side by side, you know, loving people. I kind of hate the fact that I stand up here on a stage, especially this high. I liked it over at Journey when we were about that. You know, because you get this like, oh, that's where things, the important things happen. The band and the, no, we're walking side by side, planting and watering, and God's at work, and he's the one. He's the one who's most important. It's about him, and it's about his kingdom. Levi, if you come on back up. I want to encourage you. Just be focused on living for Christ in the everyday stuff of life. Loving people, planting seeds, watering seeds. You know, I'll bring it all back around from where we started. I mean, you plant seeds by, like I was saying, sharing love with people. But, you know, during this time, it might be showing love and compassion to the person who voted differently from you, has a very different political stance than you. Person who maybe is even opposed to Christianity. The time where you show love and compassion, listen. Let them know that God loves them by the way that you interact with them. There's a seed sown. There's water put on seeds. When you stand for integrity and truth, although it might cost you friends, it might cost you your job, loving the person next door to you. Right now, what the church needs is people who first just get the whole milk thing right. I don't care how much you got figured out. I've said this before. I've been a pastor for 20-something years and known Jesus for 27, I think. And the longer I do it, the more I realize how little I really know. But the one thing that I do know for certain, God loves this world so much, he sent Jesus to die for the world, for me, to reconcile us back to God so that we can be sons and daughters of the living God and then live that out. And then once we start living that out, yeah, learn more and grow, but make sure you don't ever lose that, right? Let's stand together and we're going to close with a song. And again, there is communion available if you desire to share a moment of communion. It's off to either side here. We have to stop seeking this world. We have to stop seeing God's kingdom from a worldly perspective. It's not about results. It's about loving him and loving others. God's kingdom's real different, folks. In his kingdom, the last will be first, the first will be last. To live is to die, and often winning looks like losing. So I would just encourage us, keep our hearts focused on him. Lean not on our own understanding and the understanding of this world, but surrender to him. Allow him to do what he wants to do in our hearts. Let's worship him. Let this be your prayer. Maybe just think about that for a moment. Where are you? Sinful nature, fruit of the Spirit. Surrender to God.